In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, this is the last Sunday of the Paschal season on which we commemorate our Lord's healing of the blind man. As we just heard from the Gospel, the Lord encountered this man who was blind from his birth. It was, as St. John Chrysostom said, as though he was born with no eyes. He simply had no eyes with which to see. But the Lord saw this man and took pity on him, and this man's life was changed, not only because he was given physical eyes, but because he was given spiritual vision. He was made able to see spiritually, which is the greater kind of sight. But the disciples, when they see this man, ask the Lord a question. They ask, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, the disciples are correct to see a connection between sin and suffering. There would be no suffering in this world if it weren't for sin. If we as human beings hadn't separated ourselves, removed ourselves from God, you know, separated ourselves from His grace and from His life, and broken communion with Him, then there would be no suffering in this world. There would be no sickness. There would be nothing sorrowful. There would be no death of innocent children. Nothing like that. It's because of sin that those things exist. But the Lord is saying, when He answers and says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." It's not that they were perfect and they never sinned. He's saying that this is not God punishing them for their sin. It's not that they did some horrible thing and there you go, that's what you get for that. Your son's born blind because you're a horrible person. He's saying that's not it. But what does he say? That the works of God should be revealed in him. God's desire is that his works be revealed, that his love, ultimately, because all of his works are done out of love, that his love be manifested in us, through us, in the world, even in this broken, sinful, spiritually sick world. God's works can be manifested. His love is made known. And in fact, his love is made known in the midst of this broken world in ways that it wouldn't be otherwise, in incredibly powerful ways, beautiful ways. We should think first and foremost of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which would not exist if it weren't for sin. So God's love is made manifest through his works in this broken world, through his presence, through the experience of coming face to face with the living God in the midst of tragedy. His works are made known. They're revealed. His love is revealed to us. And of course, in this case, the Lord heals this blind man. You could say, in a sense, there's a happy ending to this story. In one sense, at least, he who was born blind is given eyes. The Lord, in fact, it says he spits in the mud, and with his spittle and the dirt, he makes mud and he puts it on this man's eyes, in the place where his eyes ought to be, rather. And what is he doing? St. John Chrysostom says, he's forming eyes. The same one who made all of our eyes is making eyes for this man who had no eyes. You see, the one who created us out of nothing, well, he made the earth, and then he took the dust of the earth and he formed Adam. The same one who did that is forming from the dust of the earth eyes for this man. And so we see God's works revealed in him. We see God's creative love and his ultimate purpose for us revealed. What's God's purpose for us? That we should see. That we should see what? That we should see God. That we might experience, partake of His glory, share in His glory, be filled with His glory, be transfigured with His glory, shine more brightly than the sun with His glory. This is God's purpose for us, and we see that made manifest in this man. And of course, the Lord does physical healings, and He does constantly heal people of cancer and of all kinds of illnesses and deliver people from all kinds of accidents and horrible things and so on. He does all of these things, and he responds to our prayers in order just to help us to have a fuller faith in Him, to trust Him more, to know that He's with us, to trust in Him. This is what He does, so that then we might turn to Him with our whole hearts, so that then we might receive the greater blessing of His divine grace, the greater healing of being able to see spiritually, because His ultimate purpose is to sanctify us, to make us holy. We know, we talk about this during Holy Week. The Lord raised up Lazarus, but then Lazarus had to die again, He still had to die again. So the ultimate purpose isn't just to live a long life in this world and, to have good health and all of these things. It isn't just to have good eyes and 20/20 vision or something like that. It's not the prosperity gospel here, brothers and sisters. It's the orthodox gospel, which is that God is with us even in the midst of our suffering. And if we turn our hearts to Him, then we will have joy and we will have peace even in the midst of this broken world. And that in the kingdom of heaven, everything will be perfected and there will be no more sorrow, nor sighing, nor sickness. But all brokenness and tragedy will be washed away. So brothers and sisters, we could ask, in light of the events of this past week, just like the disciples ask, who sinned, this man or his parents? We could ask. In other words, what they're asking is, or what we could ask, is was it that, these people were so terrible, that they were so sinful, that God is punishing them? We could ask that question. And likewise, we could ask, who, because of whose sin do people who are out of their minds walk into schools and shoot all of these innocent children and take all of their innocent lives and wreak havoc on all of these families? Because of whose sin? Was it because of the parents? Are the children being punished? How could we possibly think for a second that it's because of the children? But just like the Lord says, it's not the parents, it's not the children, it's not the school district, it's not even politicians, people who maybe made bad decisions. These are the wrong questions to be asking. If we ask, was it because of this policy or because of that policy, because of this decision or that decision? No, it's because of sin. It's because of the devil. It's because of spiritual darkness and spiritual blindness in this world. It's because people's hearts are hardened, and that creates insanity in people, and they do things like that. And it's not that God is punishing anyone, but His purpose is that His works might be revealed, that His glory might be manifested, that He might be glorified by us, that our hearts might be transformed, and that we might receive spiritual sight. This is His purpose for us, brothers and sisters. So we don't say it's because, because of these particular sinful people. No, certainly it's because sin exists. It's because all of us collectively as human beings have turned away from God that such things happen. Such horrific things are the result. But we as Orthodox Christians, we never simply, point our fingers at other people and say, it's because of them. We don't blame other people. We don't put the blame on others. We always do what the Lord taught us to do, which is to take the blame ourselves and to recognize it's because of our sinfulness And we participate in the sinfulness of the human race, and we contribute to it. And every action that isn't glorifying God is contributing to the sinfulness of this world that results in the death of innocent children. You understand that? Every action that isn't glorifying God is contributing to the insanity and the darkness. Which is why our response should be, first and foremost, repentance. Repentance. And the repentance, what it looks like, is seeking God in the midst of the situation to more completely, more totally in our lives, to turn our hearts towards the Lord and to say, Lord, our hearts are broken because of the way the world is and because of our own contribution to that and our own sinfulness, and we're sick of our sinfulness. Heal us, have mercy on us. Turn our hearts back to you. Turn the hearts of the whole world back to you. Save all people, deliver all people from this darkness, and grant us spiritual sight. This ought to be our response, brothers and sisters. We know, and you know, it might be hard to say that God is glorified in the midst of a situation like this. But as Christians, again, as Orthodox Christians, it's our job. God has appointed us to glorify Him. That's what we do as Orthodox Christians, is we glorify God. Even in the midst of the most terrible situations, we see God present in these situations and we glorify Him. What did Job do? God allowed Satan to come and to take everything away from him, including his children. All of his children died. And what did Job do in response? Even his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? In other words, despair. You know, and this is the response of the world. The world is in a state of despair, despondency, hopelessness. But not Christians, no. Because we see Christ. Father Alexander Schmemann said, the Christian is the one who everywhere he looks, he sees Christ. So there's never any cause for despair because we see Christ. And if we don't see Christ, then we have to return. We have to seek Him in prayer. And then we'll see Him again. And so Job refused to curse God, but he glorified Him even in the midst of his tragic circumstances. He said, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the God who created us out of nothing, and who the God who makes mud from spit and dust and creates eyes for the blind man, that same God takes those children whom He created from nothing to Himself. Those children who are baptized in their blood, He takes to Himself and comforts them. And so our hope is in the heavenly kingdom and not in this world. Our hope is in God and His righteousness and not in any earthly political answers to the problem. Repentance and the glorifying of God and turning our hearts back to the Lord and shining with the light of Christ, these are the answers. And we as Orthodox Christians are called to do that, and to bear witness to the truth, to bear witness to the light. Now, I want to tell you about a certain saint whose life fits very well with the theme of this Sunday, and that's Saint Matrona the Blind. Saint Matrona lived in the first half of the 20th century, and she was born blind, like this man described in the Gospel. She was born with simply no eyes. Her eyelids were shut tight over where her eyeballs ought to be. She didn't have eyes at all. And her parents were very poor. They already had a number of children, and her mother was seriously considering, when she was born, to give her over to an orphanage because she didn't think that she could was able to raise her. And this was before she knew she was blind. but she had a prophetic dream in which it was clear to her that it was God's will for her to keep her child. And so when her child was born, in spite of the fact that she had no eyes, the parents chose to keep her and not to give her to the orphanage. And they were very pious people. They would go to church all the time. So Saint Matrona was raised going to church. And in her life, it describes how she loved to stand in the church for a long time, but she also loved to venerate the icons. She loved icons. And she would even take them off the wall and hold them and talk to them when she was a little girl. And she knew who she was venerating. This is the amazing thing, you know? The icons didn't they didn't have captions in Braille, but she knew who they were. She knew which saint was which icon was of which saint, because she had spiritual sight. And this is the amazing thing: God never healed her physical eyes, but He gave her spiritual vision. And she knew things that nobody else knew. And so she grew up, and actually, even by the time she was 7, she was already healing people. And so people started lining up at her house when they found out that through her prayers, they would be healed of sickness. 7-year-old girl. People came in droves. Eventually, her parents died, and her brothers, who by this time the communist revolution had happened, her brothers were communists. And they were scandalized by the fact that all of these Christians were coming and being healed by their sister. They threw her out. You know, you see how humanitarian this world is and all of the regimes of this world. You see the spirit here. They threw out their blind sister, you know. But, of course, she took refuge. And I forgot to mention, by the time she was a teenager, she also became paralyzed. She couldn't walk. So all she could do was sit on her bed, but people would come and visit her. But the other Christians took her in, and she would go from house to house to house because the communist authorities wanted to find her. But somehow, she always knew when they were about to come to a house, and so she would have them take them and leave. So they were never able to catch her because she always knew when they were coming, and so she would have them transfer her to a different place. And so God raised up this woman who, you know, in the eyes of the world was like a castaway, worthless, useless, you know, just blind and paralyzed, sitting on her bed all the time, like some kind of parasite. Again, from the view of the world, from a worldly, secular perspective, she would be seen as some kind of parasite. Why not just euthanize her, you know? But no. She was the one of the greatest treasures the 20th century saw, and the whole history of the world has seen, this Blessed Matrona. So people would come to her, and she would tell them what they needed to do with their life. She would prophesy and give them hope and give them courage. She spoke very, very simply, but very directly. And countless people's lives were changed because of Saint Matrona. And she lived her life glorifying God like a beacon of light. So although she herself was physically blind, she had spiritual sight, and she gave sight to those around her. Because God's ultimate purpose, again, is that we should have spiritual vision, that we should behold Him, that we should have pure hearts. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We should see God, that we should partake of His glory, that we should be filled with His glory, shine like beacons of light for the whole world around us. And so we have Saint Matrona as a witness to this, our calling as Christians, and as an intercessor for us, and as one who also is an example of what the world does to those who serve God. As soon as we dedicate ourselves to Christ, as soon as we receive His light within us, the world begins to persecute us because the world hates the light of God. And again, we don't mean the created world. We mean the fallen system, the fallen mode of this world, the evil one's regime in this fallen world. That's what we're talking about. So brothers and sisters, may we be encouraged by the example of Saint Matrona, knowing that if we give our hearts to the Lord, if we give our hearts to the Holy Trinity, we'll receive the light. We could say in proportion as we give our hearts to the Lord, we receive the blessedness and the grace of God. And our lives are transformed and we receive spiritual vision. So may this be our desire, brothers and sisters. And through the prayers of Saint Matrona, may we seek spiritual sight, clarity of spiritual vision. And may we take heart even in the face of the most unspeakable tragedies of this world, knowing that ultimately God's purpose is for all of us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whatever path that may take, sometimes it takes the path of unfortunately, sadly, a tragic suffering and death. But God's purpose is our salvation, our glorification with Him and His kingdom. So may we keep that in our hearts and be comforted by that and cling to our God and say like Job, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Even in the midst of the most sorrowful things, may we be the ones, brothers and sisters, who give light to the world around us, which is enshrouded in darkness. May we glorify our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.